والسلام على رسول الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. I apologize commonly. I was even contemplating to say to us that we will not hold the class, but I felt in the end that we should still have the class today, and we should still read from the bab of Majah fi anna Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كان يتقطم في يمينه, as we are actually supposed to read. So we are on the next bab that followed the one we read last, which is باب ما جاء في أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم كان يتقطم في يمينه. This is according to those of us who have the مختصر of Sheikh Al-Albani, but for those who have the تحقيق of Sayyid Imran, what it says there is ما جاء في تختم النبي كو نعم ما جاء في تختم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. What has been reported about the Prophet wearing the ring? What we discussed last was about the ring itself. How does it look like? What is it made of? But today the class is about his wearing it, which will include on which of the hands does he wear it, alayhi salatu wasalam, and on which of the fingers does he wear it, alayhi salatu wasalam. Like we said at the beginning of this class, it's like a detailed exposition about the Prophet Muhammad. If you remember previously, we discussed his height, we discussed his look, his complexion, and his fingers, his bones, his chest, the hairs on his chest, everything about him. So that's why it is referred to as Ash-Shama'il al-Muhammadi. It's a whole branch of study among the scholars of hadith. So sometimes you mention a hadith, they say that hadith is hadith al-Shama'il. That is, it's a hadith that describes something about the detailed person of the Prophet Muhammad. So it is under Shama'il where you find the Sunan al-Khulqiyya and Khalqiyya of Rasul alayhi salam. His Sunan al-Khulqiyya is akhlaq, his behavior. We'll come to them inshallah. And Khalqiyya, the way Allah created him alayhi salam. So today inshallah we'll read about how he wears the ring, takhattum, his wearing of the ring alayhi salatu wasalam. So in some copies you will find ma ja'a fi takhattum rasulillah, that is the copy of Sayyid Imran, you find it ma ja'a fi takhattum rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. If you also have ashraful wasail ila fahmi shama'il by the Imam Haytham, published by Darul Kutub al-Ilmiya, you'll also have it as Babu ma ja'a fi takhattum rasulillah. But this mukhtasar of Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah, you find it Babu ma ja'a fi anna an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam kana yatakhattamu fi yaminihi. There is difference between the two. In the first one, Babu ma ja'a fi takhattum rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, chapter on what is reported regarding the Prophet's wearing of the ring, is general. On which hand does he wear it? On which hand is it sunnah to wear it? Is general. But Babu ma ja'a fi anna an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam kana yatakhattamu fi yaminihi, the chapter regarding what is reported about the fact that the hand upon which the Prophet used to wear his ring is his right hand. And that is because the teacher of Imam al-Tirmidhi, the author of Imam al-Tirmidhi as you choose it, the author of this book, his teacher Al-Imam al-Bukhari, is of the opinion that the sunnah is to wear the ring on the right. So Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, he find on this issue especially, was asking Al-Imam al-Bukhari about a hadith in this book. So ulama say perhaps Imam al-Tirmidhi said Babu ma ja'a fi anna an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam kana yatakhattamu fi yaminihi, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to put his ring on his right, because that was the fiqh of his teacher Al-Imam al-Bukhari, Muhammad ibn Ismail Abu Abdullah. So that's the essence of having that title, that it is not just Babu ma ja'a fi takhattum, it's more than that, because of the fiqh that is contained in the ahadith that he has combined in the book. Because it will be saying, is it sunnah to wear it on the left too? Is it sunnah to wear it on the right, or is permissible for both hands? But Imam al-Tirmidhi has the opinion that the sunnah is right hand. So this is what the scholars have said about the title. You find that in other tahqiqat too. I mentioned them here, but I think we should just go ahead. I mean, where other muhakkikun, other people who verified this book and said that the title used by Imam al-Tirmidhi is that kana yataqattamu fi yaminhi rather than babu maja afi taqattumi rasul. And also the fact of the fiqh of the hadith as joined by Imam Bukhari and others is evidence that the most likely thing that Tirmidhi will do, rahimahullah, is to make this tabweeb the way Sheikh al-Albani has done it. The first hadith in the bab is the hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib. We know Ali ibn Abi Talib, Amir al-Mu'minin, rahimahullah. I always remember something about him, and that is his statement when one day he was reading, he was giving the people khutbah in Kufa. You know, he left Medina for Kufa. He was the one who left the Khilafah, the capital city of Islam. Of course, the capital city of any country or nation is where its leader resides. If the leader moves, everything has moved. So he moved this capital from Medina to Kufa because his presence will help to calm down the crisis in Kufa. You know, the hot spots of the fitan at the time was Kufa and Basra. So he thought if he moved to the hot spots, it will help to calm down. So once he was said to be giving khutbah on the mimbar in Kufa, and he read the verse that مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُوا اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. That he said, Allah said that مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ, from amongst the Muslims are men, from amongst the Sahaba, because when this verse was revealed, there is no Muslim except the Sahabi. So مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, from the companions are men. صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُوا اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ, he brought to reality the covenant they made with Allah. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ, some of them have fulfilled, they've gone, they've gotten even the reward for their, because they got shahada at the end of the day, they were killed in battles and all of that. And Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, this one is shaheed, this one is shaheed, this one is shaheed, like Abu Bakr, like Umar ibn al-Khattab, like Usman ibn Affan. So some people achieved shahada, like Hamza ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. So all these people achieved shahada. So قَدَوَ نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ, some of them are waiting. He said نَحْلُ الْمُنْتَظِرُونَ, we are the ones waiting. And that's why he was the one waiting to also become what? A shaheed. Because there is enough from the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam that Ali radiallahu anhu is what? Shaheed. So some people had achieved that shahada, but we are waiting for the day it will come. So وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا, see, this is evidence that I have not changed, I'm not a kafir. Because the Khawarij had called him a kafir. He said, no, I've not changed, I'm still the Ali. وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا, Allah said they will never change until they become shaheed. So if it is authentic that the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam that Ali radiallahu anhu is shaheed, and it is authentic, then Ali is not a kafir. It means those who declared him as kafir are those upon what? Error. Do we understand? It's evidence against the Khawarij. They say, مَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا, we didn't change. The evidence that they didn't change is not even only in the statement of Ali that we didn't change. The fact remains that the Prophet said he is shaheed. You remember the hadith. He climbed Uhud alayhi salatu wasalam and was with him, Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman and Ali. Uhud was shaking. He said, Uhud, Uthbut, stay firm. فَمَا عَلَيْكَ إِلَّا نَبِيٌّ وَصِدِّيقٌ وَشُهَدَاءٌ, nobody is on you except a prophet, a siddiq, greater than a prophet, Abu Bakr, greater than a shaheed, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, radiyallahu anhu. That's what ulama say. There are people who are better than shuhada in the sight of Allah, apart from anbiya, and those are siddiqun. Abu Bakr died on his bed, radiyallahu anhu. He's still better, radiyallahu anhu, than those who died on the battlefield. Abu Bakr was better than all of them. خير هذه الأمة بعد نبيها أبو بكر الصديق. أكيدة, from أكيدة أهل السنة والجماعة. If you don't believe in it, we start asking you questions now. Where you are coming from? So we want to die on our beds as Siddiqun. So there is position higher than that of Shuhada. People think that it is when you say Shahid Shahid. Shuhada, Siddiqun are better than them. So don't say people should come and go and die, go and kill themselves and go and die. No. Let them be Siddiqun if they cannot be Anbiya. there is the gate of Siddiqun open for them. And to be a Siddiq, you must be loaded with knowledge and action, ilm and amal. It says, فَعَلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. So you can't have iman except you have knowledge. And then it says, وَقُلِ عِمَلُوا فَصَيَرَ اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ. So these two things you can't do without them, knowledge and action. They will make you be better than somebody who thinks that he has died as a shaheed, if actually he has died as a shaheed. And it is an innovation to refer to somebody as a shaheed without having a text. And Imam Bukhari mentioned, he's inside Bukhari, there are hadith. Because he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahu a'lamu biman yuklamu fi sabilillah. Allah is the only one who knows the one who has been slaughtered, who has been killed for his sake. So why are you saying so person is shaheed? Why are you saying Fulan ibn Fulan is shaheed? Sheikh so and so is shaheed. Who told you that one? You have wahi? So the reason why we say Ali radiallahu anhu is shaheed is because Prophet said he is shaheed, alayhi salam. So he says, وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. They will not change. These people, they will not change. He says, نَحْنُ الْمُنْتَزِرُونَ. We are the way once waiting. Ali radiallahu anhu. وَمَا بَدَّلُوا. We will not change. I didn't change. So that's the reputation again from that verse against the Khawarij. So Ali radiallahu anhu, who reported this hadith, is the one who reported this hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I'm sorry for taking your time in that digression. I never thought I would mention it. He said, anna nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam kana yalbasu khatamahu fi yaminihi. Anna nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam كان يلبس خاتمه في يمينه. Ali ibn Abi Talib said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam used to wear his ring on his right hand, or you could say he would wear his ring on his right hand. The Prophet used to wear his ring on his right hand. How is that ring? Do you remember it? You remember the ring, how it is? It has a circular part and it has a what? Puff. That is a jewelry assemblage. So he will put onyx on it, or chalcedony, or silver. And he will wear it such that the side that has the jewelry is bottom, facing bottom, and inside his palm. So that is the head is inside the palm. It's round. I will tell you why I'm describing with this finger, inshallah. And not this finger where people put the rings, as is common today. People put fingers on this finger, on the third finger, is it? Or what name do they call it? Fourth finger. In Arabic, they call it binsako. This is khinsar, this is binsar. So they put the thing, the ring here. It's an innovation. We mention it, inshallah, if Allah gives us the opportunity. So Ali radiallahu anhu said he will wear his ring on the right hand. The next hadith. For us, it is hadith 78. For the rest of us, it is hadith 93. Cool? But we will pick from somewhere that says an Hammad. In your own, it says Haddathana Ahmad ibn Munayy. Cool? حدثنا يزيد بن هارون. هؤلاء أئمة. All these people are imams. يزيد بن هارون. فسألته. He said, عن حماد بن سلمة. So we would be reading from what? From what? حماد بن سلمة. Don't forget it is مختصر. The reason why it came from حماد بن سلمة, why he started, Sheikh Al-Albani started from حماد بن سلمة, is that there is a تسلسل of something here, from beginning from Hammad up. It says, Al Hammad ibn Salama qala, Ra'aytu ibn Abi Rafi'i yatakhattamu fi yaminihi. Fasa'altuhu an thalika faqala, Ra'aytu Abdullah ibn Ja'farin yatakhattamu fi yaminihi. Wa qala Abdullah ابن جعفر كان رسول صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يتختم
في يمينه. حماد بن سلمة أحد الأئمة. This Imam Hammad ibn Salama, it was said that for 20 years he had been ready for the day of Qiyamah. If they said Gadan Sa'a, he does not have any other extra thing to do. We now, if they say, Mala, we'll kill you now. Aya, we'll give you 5 minutes. What will you do? Say, Bari Rakabi. Or you will say that? That please let me make 2 rakah. He is ready, sweating. فإذا نقر في الناقور is waiting for that time. حماد بن سلمة رحمه الله عابد إمام كبير. So he's the one who reported this hadith. He said رأيت ابن أبي رافع. He saw ابن أبي رافع, one of his teachers, يتختم في يمينه. He saw him wearing his ring on his right hand. فقال فسألته عن ذلك. I asked him, why are you wearing this ring on the right hand? There are many people you see, ustaz, wearing the ring on the finger, on the fourth finger, the finger that follows the small finger. They wear it. We have not been asking them, ustaz, why are you wearing this ring on this hand? Ask them if you see them. Those who wear the ring on this, on the bimsof, on the finger that follows the small finger. If you see them, Ustaz, ask him, Ustaz, why are you wearing this ring on this hand? Those people then used to ask. So he saw him wearing the finger on the right hand. He said, why are you wearing? فَسَأَلْتُهُ عَنْ ذَلِكِ. So I asked him regarding that. That is regarding his wearing his ring on the right hand. فَقَالَ رَأَيْتُ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ إِبْنَ جَعْفَرٍ يَتَخَتَّمُ فِيَنْ. The response, I saw Abdullah ibn Ja'far, his own teacher, wearing the ring on his right hand. So I'm wearing my ring on my right hand. So the riwayah came like that. So there is the tafsir of somebody seeing something and doing it like that. It comes like that in hadith. So this hadith is musalsalun bi takhattum fil yamin. Ko? Min Hammad. Ko? Folk. This is what they call hadith musalsal. There are hadith like that, like the hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib. I think it's in Sunan Abi Dawud. There's also in Kitab al-Adhkar of Al-Imam al-Nawawi, authentic hadith about Safar, that you say when you climb on your right, Subhana alladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu mukrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. Alhamdulillah, 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 Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Subhanaka Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi faghfirli fa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa anta. When Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu read this hadith, he laughed. The one who reported the hadith asked him, why did you laugh? He said, when I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reading this dua, when he climbed his mount, he laughed. So I laughed too. So when that one reported the hadith too, he did the same thing. They asked him, why are you laughing? He said, when Ali radiallahu anhu read this thing, he climbed his horse and laughed. He said that when he saw the Prophet reading it, the Prophet laughed. So I am laughing too. Like that. That is the tafsir from beginning to the end. So this kind of hadith is called as hadithun musalsalun bidhahak. A hadith in which at every level of it there is repetition of what? Laughter. So this hadith, there is repetition of what? Wearing the ring on the right hand. So this is the fa'idah. This is why Sheikh Albani brought this. He didn't just bring it. He could have just gone straight and Abdullah ibn Ja'far and read the hadith. He wants us to see that tafsir. So he asked his teacher Abu Rafi, why are you wearing this ring on the right hand? فَقَالَ رَأَيْتُ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ إِبْنَ جَعْفَرٍ يَتَخَتَّمُ فِي يَمِينِهِ. See, I saw Abdullah ibn Ja'far, he wore his ring on his right. وَقَالَ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ ibn Ja'far, and Abdullah ibn Ja'far will say, he just didn't say that. It meant he too was asking, or perhaps he just said it without asking. And that Abdullah ibn Ja'far would say, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يتختم في يمينه. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام used to wear his ring on what? On his right hand. So that's my Dalil. That's what Ibn Ja'far said. Abdullah ibn Ja'far is the son of Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, the brother to Ali ibn Abi Talib. He was born in Habasha, Abyssinia here. Abdullah ibn Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. رضي الله عنهما because both Ja'far and his son Abdullah from the companions of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. The hadith are straightforward. The next hadith for the rest of us, hadith 94, cool? Yeah, it says حدثنا يحيى بن موسى, hadith 94, cool? But for those of us with Mukhtasar, we have hadith 79. And that's our own hadith, is the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. The first two, your own hadith is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Ja'far, cool? But it is the same hadith with the same love with the one we just read. And because our own copy is Mukhtasar, summary, you did not need to repeat the hadith. Do we understand? But this second report in your own is a riwayah da'ifa, which is stretching by the one we just read. So we'll go ahead. So just look at the next hadith. Hadith 95. Haddathana Abu al-Khattab. That's what we read now. For those of us with Mukhtasar, it is hadith 79. And Jabir ibn Abdullah. We know Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. We've always talked about him. Radiallahu anhuma. Anna Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam kana yataqattamu fi yaminihi. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم كان يتختم في يمينه. جابر بن عبد الله الأنصاري also said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم would wear his ring or used to wear his ring on his right. The next hadith. And that is the hadith of As-Sulti ibn عبد الله. السلط ابن عبد الله أن السلط ابن عبد الله قال كان ابن عباس يتختم في يمينه. السلط ابن عبد الله التابعي said that عبد الله ابن عباس بحر الأمة, we know him, he does not require introduction, the son of Abbas, the young man who the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم for whom he prayed, the Prophet prayed for him for understanding of Quran and knowing the Quran. We know all of these about Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. He said that Ibn Abdullah, Sult Ibn Abdullah said that Kan Ibn Abbas yataqattamu fi yaminihi. Ibn Abbas used to wear his ring on his right hand. It means all these people used to wear rings, ikhwan. So the sunnah does not end in our beards alone, and we should wear rings to his sunnah. This one major fa'idah here. You see, many of them reported wearing rings. And they were not wearing rings because they want to show opulence. They wore rings because they want to follow sunnah. That's why you could see the tasalsul. Where are you wearing? See, prophet. Where are you wearing? Prophet used to wear. Where are you wearing it? Prophet. So they were not wearing rings to show opulence. So if you want to wear rings, wear it because it is sunnah to wear rings. You'll be getting reward as long as the ring stands on your hand. You'll be rewarded for following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Anis Sult ibn Abdullah qala kana ibn Abbas yataqattamu fi yamin. Ibn Abbas used to wear his rings on his right hand. Wala ikhaluhu illa qala. I don't think he had anything except what he used to say. But you see, he's not used to say more than that. Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yataqattamu fi yaminihi. He used to say, Mama used to wear his ring on his right hand. He doesn't have anything he will say about his own wearing ring. That is Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas used to wear his ring on his right hand. And he does not have anything to say except that the Prophet used to do what? Wear his ring on his right hand. So Ibn Abbas was also wearing it because the Prophet was wearing it. Abdullah ibn Ja'far was wearing it because the Prophet was wearing it. You see, like that, the Prophet was wearing it. Because he understood the verse that لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وذكر الله كثيرا. The hadith is clear. Next hadith. That is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma. We know him too. He also does not need an introduction. عن ابن عمر أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم اتخذ خاتما من فضة. You can also call فضة ورق. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم اتخذ خاتما من فضة وجعل فصه أو فصه أو فصه مما يلي كفه وناقش فيه محمد رسول الله ونهى أن ينكش أحد عليه وهو الذي سقط من معيقيب في بئر أريس. ابن عمر said رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم اتخذ في البطن the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam خاتما من فضة, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took to wearing a ring that is made from what? From silver. Why did he take the ring? You remember? Because he would write letters to kings and, you know, influential people in the world. So when he wrote those letters, he got his ring to do what? Like a stamp and seal on those letters. Because it was said that, look, if you don't seal or stamp this letter, those people will not recognize your letter. So seal it and stamp it. So he took it, stamped it. So his stamp was his ring, alayhi salam. So he engraved on it. He says, وَجَعَلَ فِصَّهُ مِمَّا يَلِي كَفَّهُ. He will put the head of it inside what follows the palm. This is the palm. So he put it inside. It's just another way of saying what we had read before. That the head of it, which contained the gemstone, was always inside the cuff. So he made the fist for me, مَا يَلِي كَفَّهُ يَعْنِي بَاطِنَ كَفِّهِ وَنَقَشَ فِيهِ. And then he engraved on it. What did he engrave on it? Muhammadun Rasulullah. There is a hadith about that. He engraved, how did he engrave? Muhammadun Satrun wa Rasulun Satrun Wallahu Satrun. One line, Muhammad Rasulullah. So that was what was on it. وَنَهَا أَنْ يَنْكُشَ أَحَدٌ عَلَيْهِ. And he prohibited that anyone will make a naqshu like that. You see authority now. Nobody should make the kind of engravement that I have made on my ring. It's like saying nobody should make another seal. Nobody should make another stamp. This is a stamp of our nation. It further shows that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam himself was not wearing the ring because he wants to show opulence. There's a need for his wearing the ring. And that's why, if you don't forget, in one of the riwayat it was said that he wasn't wearing it all the time. Alayhi salatu. So don't think that the Prophet too, they make younger. No. Alayhi salatu. He had a reason for doing it. So if you do want to do it because he was doing it. That will be your own reason for doing it, not because you want to show that he can afford a silver ring. Some people show that, how can a young man not wear a ring? Why should a young man wear a ring? The same question you have asked us will ask you. Why shouldn't a man wear a ring? We say, why should he wear a ring? But if you ask us, we start, why are you wearing a ring? We say, because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is to wear a ring. This is a noble response. Rather than that, why shouldn't a young man wear a ring? There is arrogance in that response. May Allah save us from that. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam naha an yankusha ahdun alayhi. He prohibited that any other person should have the kind of engravement he had on his ring alayhi salatu wasalam. But Mu'adh ibn Jabal had his ring like that of the Prophet Muhammad. Well, scholars say, well, maybe because Mu'adh ibn Jabal, you know, he sent him out of Arabia to Yemen, out of the peninsula to Yemen. So perhaps he had a need to have the same kind of thing. But none other than Mu'adh is reported to have had the same kind of thing. So some people say maybe he permitted Mu'adh, you can wear it. You know, just like the president could give the seal of the country to any other person, you take care of it. We'll read a hadith that will show something like that, inshallah. So naha an yankusha ahdun alayhi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited that any other person should engrave his ring like his own engravement. Wa huwa alladhi saqata min mu'aytib. That ring that the Prophet engraved on it, Muhammadun satrun wa rasulun satrun wa Allahu satrun, it fell on the hand or from the hands of Mu'aykib Mawla Sa'id ibn Abil Aas. Mu'aykib was a companion. He even partook in the or he took part in the battle of Badr. If you say partook, it still took part or participate, but partook is usually used for food. He partook in a food. He partook in a feast. So we say he took part. So he took part in the battle of Badr. That is Mu'aykib. So Mu'aykib, it was in his hands that Uthman ibn Affan kept the seal. The seal was with Abu Bakr ibn Siddiq. When he died, it passed on to the next Khalifa, Umar radiallahu anhu. When he died, he passed on to who? Uthman ibn Affan. How many years in his Khilafah before he got lost? 6 years in his Khilafah. It fell from the hands of the person in charge of it. And that was who? Mu'aykib. Into where did it fall? Fi-bi'iri Aris. It fell into the Aris well. The Aris well. The Aris is a Jew who owns that well near Masjid Quba in Medina. So the ring fell from his hands into the well. We mentioned something around that, I think, in our last class, vis-a-vis the power of the Muslims. Allah save us from it. From the fitna that came out of it, was a great fitna. I think that's that about that hadith. The next hadith. For us, the rest of us, it is hadith 98, but for those of us with Mukhtasar, it will be hadith number 82. It says, "An Ja'far ibn Muhammad an Abihi, kana al-Hasan wal-Husayn yatakhattamani fi yasarihima, kana al-Hasan wal-Husayn يتخطمان في يسارهما حسن and Hussein." We know them both, the two children of Fatima رضي الله. One is older than the other. People will say they are twins. I don't know where people saw that. Hassan and Hussein must always be twins. Go. Very common. They are very, very honored people in this ummah. So كان الحسن والحسين يتخطمان في يسارهما. The two of them would wear their rings on their left. We have been hearing right. We are hearing left now. So where did they get it from, the two of them? Anas ibn Malik reported that كان يتخطم في يساره in Sahih Muslim. And as Mimazik radiallahu anhu, also Abu Hamza also reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam kana yatakhattamu fi yasarihi. He would wear his ring on his left. What does this prove? It proves that sometimes he would wear on his right and sometimes he would wear on his left. Do we get this point? This hadith that is authentic in Sahih Muslim from Anas ibn Malik that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yatakhattamu fi yasarihi. he will wear his ring on the left. From Anas ibn Malik, the hadith is in Sahih Muslim and it is authentic. But some scholars even say that what it means is that he used to wear it and it was most known with him on the right, then the hukm changed to the left. Some said no, he only wore it on the left to make you understand that look, you can also wear it on the left if you like. The bayan al-jawab, as my brothers will say. But that was what al-Imam al-Haytami actually said in Ashraf al-Wasa'il, that he will wear it on the left, libayan al-jawaz, to show that it is permissible to wear it on the left. Some say it is mansukh to wear it on the right, that is, it is abrogated. He's wearing it on the left abrogates the rule of his wearing it on the right. That's why Sheikh al-Albani mentioned what he said here, and it's very, very useful for us to read it. He said, Qultu, Sheikh al-Albani said, he said, I say, Sheikh al-Albani say, those of us who don't have the Mukhtasar, who will not see this one, it's very, very beneficial on this issue. He said, Bal as-sawabu jawazul amrain. Sheikh al-Albani said, the correct thing is that the two are what? Permissible. It is permissible to write either on the right hand or on the left. Wala dalilun ala nafkh. There is no evidence to show that there is what? Abrogation. Why? Because you need what? Dalil of tariq. You need evidence of history. That is, you need to be able to say which one was he doing initially and which one was he doing later. If you cannot provide that he was doing this initially, then he stopped and then changed, then you can't say there is not. Because there is no dalil of tariq. والنفخ لا يثبت بالاحتمال. They say it again, that نفخ, abrogation, is not established by saying maybe he, no, don't say maybe. لا يثبت بالاحتمال. So the evidence is just to do what? Leave it like that. كان يتختم في يمينه يتختم في يساره. Leave it like that. That's why he said بل رضا الصواب جواز الأمرين. What is correct is that the two is what? They are correct. They are allowed. ولا دليل على النفخ. There is no evidence to show that there is what? Abrogation. وحديث, and the hadith that كان يتختم في يمينه ثم حوله في يساره. See now, the hadith that says that he used to wear his ring on his right and then he changed it and started wearing it on his left, لا يصح, it's not authentic. وأيضا, we will say again that والنسخ لا يثبت بالضعيف. You cannot establish abrogation with a hadith that is what? That is weak. بل هو من ضعيف الجامع. He said he has placed it, if you go and check his book, ضعيف الجامع الصغير, he said he has mentioned it there. ومثله الحديث المخالف له بلفظه كان يتختم في يمينه ويقول. And also another hadith that contradicts this first one, that contradicts the one that says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to wear his ring on his right and then changes to his left. There is another hadith that says that يتختم في يمينه ويقول, the Prophet used to wear his ring on his right and would say that اليمين أحق بالزينة من الشمال, that the right hand should be, you know, designed, should be adorned rather than the left. This hadith itself is what? Is weak. The hadith that says he used to wear it on his right and then he changed it to the left. Cool? And the one that says he used to wear it on the right and say that the right is most deserving of being ornamented, that hadith is also weak. That is, the hadith that shows that it should only be worn on the left, and the one that shows also that it should only be worn on the right, are weak. He says, وَقَدْ خَرَجْتُهُ فِي الضَّعِيفَ. I have mentioned that one in سِلْسِلَةُ to الْأَحَادِيثِ الضَّعِيفَ. وَمِثْلُهُ قَوْلُ عَائِشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا. And the like of it, that is the hadith of Aisha, that it says, وقبض صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم والخاتم في يمينه. The Prophet died while his ring was on his right hand. I read one of the scholars saying that what the Prophet died upon was that he was wearing the ring on his right hand. Sheikh Al-Albani said, فَإِنَّهُ ضَعِيفُ جِدًا. Even this one is also a very weak hadith. كَمَا بَيَّنْتُهُ هُنَاكَ. As I have explained it in Silsila to Al-Ahadithi, Al-Da'ifa wal-Mawdu'a. وحديث ابن عمر المذكور and the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar that had been mentioned earlier شاذ لمخالفته لرواية الثقات باللفظ يمينه كما في الحديث بعده وقد بينت ذلك في الإرواح. He's mentioning all these ahadith that shows otherwise. They are what? They are weak. That is, any hadith that shows that the ring cannot be worn on the left, it can only be worn on the right, is weak. Or if it says it cannot be worn on the right, it can only be worn on the left, it's also weak. That's why it says bal as-sawabu jawazul amrayn. What is correct is that the two are permissible. Then he went on to mention the hadith of Anas ibn Malik that we said, that the Prophet said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Anas ibn Malik said kana yatakhattamu fi yasarihi, that the Prophet also used to wear his ring on his left. So the ruling about wearing rings is that it could be worn on the right hand or on the left hand. Before we go on, we can mention this issue here because of time. If he used to wear the ring on the left hand or on the right hand, on which of the fingers did he used to wear the ring? Now, the hand, whether left or right, you can wear the ring. So if you see somebody wearing his ring on the left, la takrahu. Don't say, where did you see wearing ring on the left? Brother, as soon as the Prophet used to do, kana yatakhattamu fi yasarihi. You just give him that one. If you say, no, it is not permissible to wear on the left, it's only permissible to wear on the right, give him yatakhattamu fi yasar. As the case may be, your evidence is in Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya of Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu said, this hadith is reported by Al-Imam al-Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, Imam Ahmad and others. He said, قال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Ali ibn Abi Talib said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said to me, you want to mention which finger can we wear or can we not wear the ring? So we're using this hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib, that Ali radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said to him, Ya Ali, O Ali, salillah al-huda wa sadad, ask Allah for guidance and correctness in what you do. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said to Ali, Ya Ali, salillah al-huda wa sadad, ask Allah for guidance and that what you do should be what? Correct. That is, Allah, guide me and make what I, always make me do the correct thing, or correct what I do. Ask Allah to do the right thing. Many people think want to do the right thing, but they are doing the wrong thing. Many people want to do the right thing, but what they will do is just something that is wrong. We ask Allah protection from this kind of activity. Ibn Masud said, "Kam min muridin lil khair lam yablughu." How many times somebody will intend something good, but he will not achieve it? The person who killed Ali radiallahu anhu, he killed Ali thinking that he's pleasing Allah. You know? Abdurrahman ibn Muljam. When he killed Ali, he said he wants to please Allah. So then many people have done acts of misguidance, thinking that وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ. We ask Allah for Huda and Sadad. So the Prophet called Ali, Ya Ali, سَلِ اللَّهَ الْهُدَى وَالسَّدَادِ. Ask Allah for guidance and correctness in what you do. وَنَهَانِي أَلِي سُنَّ And then the Prophet prohibited me an aj'al al-khatimati hadhihi wa hadhihi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited me from putting my ring here and here. Wa ashara yani, wa ashara yani as-sibaba wal-wusta. He says, wa nahani an aj'al al-khatam fi hadhihi wa hadhihi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited me an aj'al al-khatama fi hadhihi wa hadhihi. The Prophet prohibited me from wearing my ring here and here. And then he pointed to what? His first finger. First finger who? Boko people. Index finger. He's also called first finger. Jazakallahu khairan. First finger, but index too is nice. It's more grammatic. That's why I call them Boko people. So he also, alayhi salatu salam, prohibited putting the ring on the fourth finger or the index finger, as you may choose to call it, and the what? Middle finger. Is there any name again for the middle finger? One master's degree holder, yeah, I say it's the second finger. Yes, it could be the second finger. You just know that the middle finger, the taller of all the fingers. What I said is not wrong. I said the taller of all the fingers. He said the tallest finger. It's all Boko. Oh, la Boko. Boko. Allah understand. Look at people giving words, synonyms. I wish we can do that with Arabic. I wish we can do that with Arabic. Because those things show mastery of language. So he said, so he prohibited me wa nahani an aj'al al-khatama fi hadhihi wa hadhihi. The Prophet alayhi salatu salam prohibited me from putting the finger, the ring, on this and this. And then he pointed to the first finger and the middle finger, or the mid finger. He pointed to the two of them. So it is prohibited. Oh, don't say he was talking to Ali. Can't somebody say that? You just tell him that al-amru lil-wahid, al-amru lil-kull, illa lil-nafs. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited or ordered a single person to do a thing, he has ordered the whole ummah, except if there is a hadith that shows that, oh, he was only referring to so and so person. Do you understand? The one al-musi'u salatahu, the one who prayed badly, all the what the Prophet was telling him, you remember that hadith, the companion who prayed, the Prophet said, oh, irji' fasalli fa inna kalam, go back and pray because you have not prayed. The man came back and said, oh, Prophet, three times, say, look, ana la uhsinuha. You feel this prayer I have prayed, that is the best way I can pray. Teach me, O Messenger of Allah. And Prophet started teaching him, stand up, make ruku. And that hadith is evidence for all of us if we want to pray. So he was teaching one person, but he was teaching all the ummah. So as he was prohibiting Ali, he was also prohibiting the rest of us. So it is prohibited to wear your finger on the first finger and the middle finger. This book is very, very nice book. Mawsu'atul Manahiyah Shar'iyyah by Sheikh Salim al-Hilali, the third volume. We are reading from it. Page 233. You see the hadith there. It can be hadith like we mentioned in Sunan Nasa'i, Sunan Ibn Majah, and Musnad Imam Ahmad. So that's why the prohibition about the two hands are. Sorry. So two hands are out of five. Remaining which one which? The thumb. What is this finger called? Boko. Eh? Why is it the ring finger? Yes, the English people call it ring finger. By way of using their language, we should call it ring finger. If we want to use their language. But understand the concept behind their use of that language is very important. They have a jahili idea about the use of this finger. And it has come from the Christians. Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah again in this book, Adab al-Zifaf. This is the old edition. There is a new edition too, the newest edition published by Al-Maktabu al-Islami or Maktabat al-Islamiyah is it Maktabat al-Islamiyya or Al-Maktab al-Islami? He has books on both. Ah, la, Dar al-Salam. Dar al-Salam. The latest edition is from Dar al-Salam. And he was saying that latest edition, that all other editions are abrogated. Nobody should publish his book, this book, except Dar al-Salam in Misr, not Dar al-Salam in Riyadh. There is Dar al-Salam in Riyadh, للنشر والتوزيع. There is Dar al-Salam in Misr, للترجمة وصمتهم. They are two different companies. I've met the directors of the two. So Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah was telling us why were the people wearing the ring on what they call the ring finger. He was saying that it's prohibited. He says rahimahullah in the Hamish, in the footnote, he says وَيَرْجِعُ ذَلِكَ إِلَىٰ عَادَةٍ قَدِيمَةٍ لَهُمْ. They are doing that goes back to an age-long practice amongst the non-Muslims. عِنْدَمَا كَانَ الْعَرُوسِ يَضَعُ الْخَاتَمْ عَلَىٰ رَأْسِ إِبْهَامِ الْعَرُوسِ. The husband will put the ring on the Ibham, on the thumb of the bridegroom. Which one is bridegroom? The wife, go. The husband is the groom. Bridegroom and groom. Which one is bridegroom? Bridegroom and bride. Not bridegroom and groom. I know, I'm just joking, Ikhwan. Bride and bridegroom. I said bridegroom and groom. Why did they choose bride? Why didn't they choose groom from bridegroom? Their language. Me, I like groom. So that one he called bride, call it groom. Okay. So he said the husband to be, what do you call that, the bride? The bridegroom will put the finger, the ring on the thumb. Ala ra'sil ibha. At the top of the thumb. يَضَعُ الْخَاتِمُ عَلَىٰ رَأْسِ إِبْهَامِ الْعَرُوسِ الْيُسْرَى. The left thumb. ويقول, and will say بسم الأب, in the name of the father. ثُمَّ يَنْكُلُهُ وَاضِعًا لَهُ عَلَىٰ رَأْسِ السِّبَابَ. So you remove it and put it at the top of the first finger. ويقول وَلِبْن الْإِبْن. You know, he said it is the name of the father, the son. Cool. So he started with Ismul Ab. They said Wal Ibn, and then the son. He will remove it. He says Summa Yadawhu Ala Ra'sil Wusta. And then he says Wayakul Ruh Al Qudus Indama Yakulu Amin. So when he says, I say Wa Ruh Al Qudus, he puts it here. When he says Amin, and then Yadawhu Akhiran Fil Binsar Haythu Yastakir. So he starts from the name of the father and the son and the Holy Spirit, put it inside. Amen. As you say Amen, the finger is put. That's where the practice started. And they started to call it what finger? Ring finger. Because it is the finger that finally bears the ring. You Muslim, Khaliful Yahud wa Nasara. Khaliful Yahud wa Nasara. Khaliful Yahud. Many hadith. And Imam Ibn Taymiyyah wrote a whole book on Mukhalafatu Ashab al-Jahim. Look at what he called it. اقتداء الصراط المستقيم. Following the straight path. When you follow the straight path, مخالفة أصحاب الجحيم, you will be making opposition to أصحاب الجحيم, the people of Jahim. So he called it اقتداء الصراط المستقيم. So he mentioned all these things there. Many hadith. Even Sheikh Al-Albani in Jilbab al-Mara'a al-Muslima, at the end of it, he was mentioning many things about which he was making mukhalafatu ashab al-jahim, al-yahud wal-nasara. So, that is the history. He cited a woman who was being asked, why are rings put on this hand? And she mentioned it. He even translated it in English. I remember sometime one brother or some brothers were saying that Sheikh Al-Albani knows English. I'm not saying he does not know English, but he mentioned at the end of this place who translated it. He is not the one that translated it. He's not the one who translates. He mentioned who the person who translated it from English to Arabic. It was originally written in English. And in English it says that that woman, her name is Angela Talbot. You can go to the net and look for it. Angela Talbot, in a magazine called Woman. He said she was asked, why is the wedding ring placed on the third finger of the left hand? I'm reading from Adab Zifal. And she said, it is said there is a vein that runs directly from the finger to the heart. The Christians believe, or non-Muslims believe, there is a vein that runs from that finger to the heart. So if a man wants to marry a woman, he proposes to her. Boko people usually, they do that. They say give her a ring to show that she's loved, to show that it's a love. Because they think that there is one vein that runs from this finger. Look at the people. Vein runs from one vein from here only to the heart. Where does the heart get, where does all the rest of, do all the rest of the veins get the blood? All the veins must be connected to the heart, man. There's even some ignorance there. How can you say there's only one vein that runs from one finger? Please, doctor, please, be a judge here. Is there only one vein that runs from one finger to the heart? No. All the fingers, all the parts from the brain, from everywhere, they have veins that run through to the heart. What kind of idea is that? That there's one vein that runs from only one finger to the heart. And one Muslim too do that, saying that he loved the girl. In ignorance. La. One vein. It is said there is a vein that runs directly from the finger to the heart. A Igbo woman is saying this. They say also, the second reason was the first one we mentioned, that there is an ancient origin whereby the bridegroom placed the ring on the tip of the bride's left thumb, saying in the name of the Father on the first finger, saying in the name of the Son, and saying in the name of the Holy Ghost, and on the word Amen, the ring was finally placed in the finger where it will remain, where it remains. So two reasons. First reason is real ignorance, that one vein joined the heart to this finger. And the second reason is that Holy Ghost and Father and Son. So تشبها بالكفار we should add, يعني مخالفة لأصحاب أهل الكتاب لأهل الكتاب we should not be to be different from the people of the book. So how many fingers have we removed and how many fingers are left? We have removed 3, 2 is left. The so-called ring finger, don't put rings there, right or left. Then the mid finger is prohibited. Then the first so-called or the index finger is also prohibited. What does it remain? The khinsar and the ibham. That is the small finger and the thumb. If you like, put it here. If you like, put it here. That was why I was demonstrating with the small finger. Any person we see who stands, we put up, tell him, Ustaz, please remove the finger. You have one vein that runs from here. You say, ah, my wife will divorce me. You say, ah, go and tell your wife. Oh, tell her the truth. Say, na jahiliya or na the carry play. So the ring should only be on either the small finger or on the thumb. But it's not known that they wear rings on thumbs. What you find is on the small finger. If you want to do this, put it on the small finger. And make sure that the engravement part of it, the first, is inside the... Make sure if you can have silver, it's better than other than silver, because the Prophet alayhi salatu salam used silver. And he prohibited iron, pure iron. He could use other things. Once it's not gold and iron. The last hadith, alhamdulillah, in the bab. Alhamdulillah. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, qala, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma said, اتخذ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم خاتما من ذهبين. We read this hadith last week. You remember? Ibn Umar said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took a ring from gold. فَكَانَ يَلْبَصُهُ فِي يَمِينِهِ. He used to wear it on his right hand. فَاتَّخَذَ النَّاسُ خَوَاتِيمَ مِنْ ذَهَبٍ. So people, the companions also went and took after the Prophet by making rings of gold, and they would wear it on their right hands. فَطَرَحَهُ. So once the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم removed it and threw it away. وَقَالَ لَا أَلْبِسُهُ أَبَدًا. I said, I will never wear it again. فَطَرَحَ النَّاسُ خَوَاتِيمَهُمْ. So the people threw away their golden rings. So that shows, we explained this hadith in the last class, the impermissibility of using golden rings. If you have a golden ring now and you don't want to use it again, you can sell the ring, like Fatima did radiallahu anha with her necklace. Was it a necklace or a bangle? A necklace. She did that with her necklace, and she bought a slave freedom with it. So ulama says it means we could sell such things and make profit from whatever we gain from it by selling it. If you have one now, you want to stop using it. A man is using a golden ring or a golden wristwatch. It's prohibited. You want to sell it off, get the money and do something else. But the money is permissible. So the reason why I'm saying is because it says, وَفَطَرَحَ النَّاسُ خَوَاتِمَهُمْ. So people threw it away. It doesn't mean you should go and throw it away too. It meant that they removed it and we are not wearing it again. This is the last hadith in this bab. Alhamdulillah. The next bab we'll read about the saif of Rasul. How was his sword like? And after that we'll read about his coat of arms. Alayhi salatu wasalam. And after that we read about his migfar, you know, the head arm or the head coat. That is what he wears on his head to cover his skull from arrows and shots. If you watch films, those days, those cowboy films, the cowboy films, there's a name they give to those films. They are always wearing adventure is near it. Is it epic? Adventure films. You see all those people, they don't speak any language. They're just, one will run, Caribbean things. One will be running, we shout, the other one will shout, they don't say anything. And people will watch, the actor wants to kill you, you carry one house. They don't say anything there. I don't know why people watch films. They don't gain anything from it. So we will read about that. You read all of this, inshallah, in a single reading. It will mean what he wore to war. So we read about his sword, inshallah. We read about his mail, what he wears on his body, and then what he wore on his head. How were they and all of that. Then after that, we'll come back to his turban. How is it? We read that in a class after the first, inshallah. This is where we'll stop today. We apologize again, starting later than we are supposed to start. We beg Allah to make us understand better than we have said. Alhamdulillah. Alaykum salam.
What of a case whereby a Muslim feels practicing this sunnah but having two rings? If he puts in one here,
he has only one.
What of a case? What you can do?
Put it here at one time. Later, remove it and put it here. I never wore two rings at the same time. If you wore two rings, they will tell us. La Nuki La Ilaina. They would have told us. Even if they say yes, he had more than one ring, you remember the one made of silver and the other one made of honey. He didn't wear
two at the same time. Hey, salat wa salam. Even when some say no, he had only one. He was using one, then later he took to another one. Whichever the case, he was not wearing two rings at the same time. So we can do it by wearing it sometimes here. Remove it, put it here. That is the sunnah. Now, maybe your own child too will start doing that. And somebody is saying, why are you wearing it? Sometimes you wear it. They say, that's how I used to see my father did. And my father used to say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كَانَ يَتَخَتَّمُ فِي يَمِينِهِ وَكَانَ يَتَخَتَّمُ فِي يَسَرِهِ. عليكم السلام. Those before us did not do it. They could have done it. Because yes, there will be sedimentation in that well. Sand will start building upon the well. So for them to do it, they were in a better position than we 1,400 years after. Secondly, the companions did not connect their iman with all these kind of things. That's why it did not take time when they needed to expand the mosque to destroy all the houses of the wives of the Prophet after their death. So no, we don't need this. What do you want to do with it? They destroy it and build mosque there. It is we who now attach important prophet rings. So what? Prophet ring fell into the well. If it were today, people will go into the well and they will follow the ring into the well. So and they will start going to collect the water. Ma hadhihi tamasil allati antum laha akifun. La, Rabbul Bayt, al-ibadah is for Rabbul Bayt, not for the Bayt. It says, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. So sahibul la khatam, the person of the khatam, if you say you're doing that to show that you love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah told you how to show that you love the Prophet. He said, in kuntum tuhibbun Allah, follow him. He didn't say follow ring. Or did he say follow the ring? Fattabi'uni ana. Him, Rasul alayhi sallam, follow him. So it is we in this generation that we begin to attach our iman to those things. If there is anything connected to iman regarding that, it will just show that there is a reality. I used to tell the people in, whenever we visit Medina, we go to Uhud and all these places. I say, look, there is this thing, there is nothing, it's not part of your heart, it's not part of anything. But just to make you understand that there was Uhud, it was true. I am your king. You see it. There was Hajar al-Aswad, you will see it. There is Maqam Ibrahim, you will see it. That's all. But to start saying you are rubbing it, you are cutting it, you are carrying it, that was how shirk started. It was said that the Arabs in the early times, they used to make tawaf around the Kaaba. So when they traveled out of Mecca, they collected stones from Kaaba to that place so that wherever they got to, they would make tawaf of it. It was mentioned in Akhbar al-Makka of the Imam. If I'm not forget, Al-Imam al-Faqihi in Akhbar al-Makka. So they took those things away. Somebody is living in Makka, is born in Makka and grew up in Makka, so they are making tawaf around the Kaaba. You collect the stones and travel. Maybe he's going to Egypt, for example. When he gets there, he says, oh, this is the Kaaba in our place where we come. We used to circumambulate it. He takes it and starts circumambulating the stone. Now, it is not that. And by the time in the next two generations, they started to worship those things. That was one of the ways idol worship came. So Allah said to them, La, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Don't worship this house. Worship the Lord of the house. So all these things, let's not be attaching. Yes, yes, we make sure see prophet. Yes, there was prophet. There was. But then it is not the thing of worship or following. You don't follow ring. You follow the one who owned the ring. I think it's not so, yeah, more, I keep going. He could have ordered it. And they'll do it immediately, they'll get it. They're gone. Okay. We'll do something. So, in the age of technology, too, because those people who came before, those people who came in the age of technology, they are more learned and they are more pious than the people of the age of technology. If there was benefit in it, they would have done it before the people of technology come to their own technology. Alaykum salam. Okay.
I need to remember to find that tomorrow. I hope I'll remember it next time. Okay.
And cover. You answer, ask.
Go ahead, do some.
From two chains in their leg.
It's very thick. Yes.
for men.
No, for ladies.
It's permissible. If it is not gold, the chain can go round.
Silver. But gold, it should not go round. If he wants to use gold, by all means, use half gold, half silver. But we mentioned that it's prohibited to use circular golden ornaments for women too. Women can put ring anywhere in their they like, except that they can't pierce their eyes. Their nose. If you ask me that putting it in the nose, is it not a giro khalkila? I say it's not a giro khalkila because it was known then and they were not stopped. So it's like sunnah on takririya. If you say women we are, you know, making fuck with oven, I'll say yes. Then sunnah takririya because women we are doing it. They had earrings. And he did not stop them, alayhi salatu wa salam. So don't say it's a giro khalkila because there's sunnah on takririya for those things. Unlike Pami, that we say is sunnah, is Tagir Khalkila. If you say they are Pami, the relaxer itself was discovered less than 100 years ago. Do you know? Relaxer was discovered less than 100 years ago. So where are you going to have Sunnah Tun Takririya for that? For changing your hair to a palm hair. Allah didn't palm your hair. So stop here, inshallah. SubhanAllah, Alhamdulillah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah.